Good morning, everyone. Sorry for the delay. In this session, we're going to go back to the mindfulness practice, and we've been looking using the breath as the object of the practice so far, and we saw there that we can have at least three variations of the breath practice, that we can simply focus on the sensations anywhere in the body associated with the breathing, and this is very good for working with relaxation, particularly together with the Shavasana, the corpse posture. And then we began to look at the second of the breath practices, that's focusing on the abdomen, fairly large area of focus, and this is good for working with stability to stabilize our attention, particularly also sometimes together with counting the breath can be very helpful to stabilize. And what I'd like to begin to do now and continue then later this afternoon is to focus on the practice of focusing at the entrance of the nostrils. This is probably the one variation that is most widely emphasized in many Buddhist traditions. And focusing here at the nostrils, of course, is a very much smaller area of focus. So this can be very helpful for developing clarity of attention. So I'd like to explain a little bit more about the practice. Then we'll do the practice, and then there's a few more things I'd like to comment on. And to introduce the practice, again, I'd like to just briefly read from this book from Alan Wallace here, Attention Revolution. And he talks about this practice on page 46, and he says the following. Mentally, the initial emphasis in shamatha practice, so shamatha practice, of course, is this practice of mindfulness. Shamatha is a particular level of concentration we are trying to develop in the spiritual path. Often translated into English as something like calm abiding. So he says the following, in the initial emphasis in shamatha practice is on relaxation, which can be induced by attending to the sensations of breathing throughout the body. The second emphasis is on stability of attention, and for this it can be helpful to observe the sensations of breathing in the area in the region of the belly. Then, having established a foundation of relaxation and stability, we shift the emphasis to cultivating clarity or vividness of attention. It is crucially important that stability is not gained at the expense of relaxation, and that the increase of clarity does not coincide with a decrease in stability. The relationship among these three qualities can be likened to the roots, trunk, and foliage of a tree. As your practice grows, the roots of relaxation go deeper, the trunk of stability gets stronger, and the foliage of vividness reaches higher. In this practice session, shift the emphasis to vividness or clarity. You do this by elevating the focus of attention and directing to a subtler object. Direct your attention to the tactile sensations of your breath at the apertures of your nostrils or above your upper lip, wherever you feel the in and out flow of your breath. Elevating the focus of attention helps to induce vividness, and attending to a subtle object enhances that further. Observe these sensations at the gateway of the respiration, even between breaths. There is an ongoing flow of tactile sensations in the area of the nostrils and upper lip, so sustain your attention there as continuously as possible. If the breath becomes so subtle you can't detect the sensations of its flow, quiet your mind and observe more carefully. As you arouse the vividness of attention, eventually the sensations of breath will become evident again. On the periphery of your awareness, you may still note some other sensations throughout the body, as well as sounds and so on. Just let them be without trying to block them out, and focus your attention single-pointedly on the sensations around the apertures of the nostrils. Count your breaths if you find this helpful. Arouse your faculty of introspection so that you quickly note whether distraction or dullness has arisen, and take the necessary steps to balance the attention when such problems occur. So just a couple of things to mention with this practice before we do the practice itself. And that is the area of focus. We can focus anywhere in this area. So some people find it easier to focus actually at the actual entrance of the nostrils, and some people find it easier to focus in the area just above the upper lip. So anywhere in this area where you notice the sensations of the breath, you can focus there. With this practice, there are two things that are very, very important. One is, of course, because this is a more subtle object, there can be a tendency when we begin the practice to force the breath, because we don't notice anything, so we try to breathe a bit harder. So again, like all these practices, we are not trying to regulate the breath in any way. So don't try to make the breath more forceful or rhythmic or anything. Let the breath do whatever it wants. Also, of course, with this practice, the other thing that can often happen is that when we attend to this place here, because we're lifting our elevation of our focus, and because it's a more subtle object, there can really be a tendency to clamp down forcefully, to tighten, to tense the focus, because it's harder to concentrate. So we need to be very careful in this practice that we are not tensing to focus. So as Alan Wallace mentioned, we need to have that basis in relaxation, stability, and then clarity. So this is something very important in this practice, is not to allow ourselves to get very tight and tense. So particularly if you notice a lot of sensations across the forehead here, we need to relax, 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 relax. This is something very important. Also, of course, then with this practice, as with the abdomen practice, if you find yourself getting distracted a lot, and you find counting the breaths is very helpful to stabilize, you can bring in a bit of counting to help stabilize the mind. As a slight alternative to counting, some traditions, instead of counting the breath, do what's called noting, you know, like mentally noting, breathing in, breathing out, or in, out. So if you prefer, instead of counting, you can use noting, but with noting, to keep it very simple. Don't make it some sort of elaborate commentary, but very, very simple. Otherwise, it just becomes another distraction. So again, if you find counting or noting helpful to help stabilize the mind, you can bring it in. Don't overuse it, and if you don't find it helpful, just leave it out altogether. Okay. Any questions about this practice? Anything anyone would like to ask before we do the practice? Yeah, that's the thing is, of course, if you're sitting like this and you have pain in the knees, then you can sit in a chair. You don't have to sit on the cushion. Sit in the chair to meditate. If you have problems, then you can use the Shavasana as well. Okay, so that's fine. Okay. Maybe I'll mention this before the meditation then. We tend to go between two extremes of either dullness or distraction. And so we need to balance between those two extremes. And particularly with the breath practice, we have a natural opportunity to do that. when we're breathing out, this is a natural occasion to really relax. And when we're breathing in, this is a good opportunity to sharpen the focus. And there's a few little catchwords we can remember to help, and I'm going to introduce that in this meditation to help us with this. So if we find ourselves getting caught up in distraction, then the natural tendency, of course, is to get frustrated or upset. So the first thing we need to do when we notice that we're distracted is simply relax. Don't get sort of frustrated, uptight and tense. Then we can simply release the distraction, just let go of the distraction. So of course we're not talking about trying to push it away. We just simply drop it. And then we simply return to the breath. So relax, release the distraction, and then very gently return to the object, in this case the breath at the nostrils. Also, if we find ourselves getting caught up into... So this is also, for, of course, if we get agitated. We're getting tense and agitated. Relax, release, return. The other extreme that we tend to go to is into dullness. Often one of the reasons we get dull is we're simply losing interest in the practice. You know, we're getting a bit bored with the practice. So if we notice we're drifting into dullness, just getting spaced out, what we can do is first refresh our interest in the practice. Then simply restore our attention on the object, so reapply the mindfulness, restore our attention. And then retain an ongoing flow of mindfulness of the object. So these are what we can do when we find ourselves going into dullness or distraction. And we can do this sort of balancing act on every breath, meaning on each out breath we can simply relax, release any distraction, agitation, and return to the object. On the in breath, refresh interest, restore our attention, and retain that mindfulness. So this is a few things that we can do to help balance ourselves. Now with this, if we get a lot of tension across here, then of course on each out-breath, we can emphasize just relaxing and releasing that tension. If we find that we're trying to do this, but after some time we still get a lot of tension here, then really we need to move out of here and go back to either the abdomen or the full body. Bring your attention down and to a more coarse object and emphasize relaxation. Because if we stay here with this tension, we're going to develop a very bad habit that's going to be hard to correct. We're going to get into the habit of being more and more tight and tense in our focus. So we don't want to go there. So if you're finding it difficult to relax and release and you're having a lot of tension here, then you can shift back down to the abdomen or the full body for some time and just emphasize relaxation, relax, 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 relax. When you find yourself relaxed again, then go back to the nostrils here. But don't stay here if you're getting a lot of tightness and tension and you can't release it. That's going to be counterproductive. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so let's do the practice and then some more comments about the practice after the practice. So finding a nice comfortable posture. Again, if you want to, you can use the Shavasana posture. You can sit in a chair
as you like.
So allow your awareness to descend into the body. Simply become aware of sensations throughout the body. Use the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Bring your awareness to the area of your face and soften and relax all the muscles in the face. This way, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. Allow the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or manipulate the breath in any way.
with each
out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen, happily releasing them. Not dwelling in the past, not anticipating the future. In particular, letting go of any expectations for this meditation. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Simply focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Now narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath at the entrance of the nostrils or the area above the upper lip. Maintaining an ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. find that you've got caught up in a distraction, got carried away, then without getting upset, the first thing to do is simply to relax. And then release the distraction and very gently return to focusing on the breath at the nostrils. So relax, release, and return. Every time you become distracted. Or if you find that you're simply becoming dull or spaced out, then use the in-breath as an opportunity to refresh your interest in the practice, and then restore your attention on the breath and retain that ongoing flow of mindfulness. So refresh, restore, and retain. you find that you're constantly becoming distracted, and if you find it helpful, you might like to introduce counting or noting the breath as a way to help stabilize the mind.
Any questions or feedback from that practice anyone would like to bring up?
Well, of course, anything like that, I mean, if we notice that, we just let it go and come back. But of course, if we have some strong, heavy sensations, whether it's pain in the knee or something, then maybe we need to, and it's really pulling our attention constantly, then maybe we need to address that by shifting the posture. But we need to be a little bit careful that we don't just, because otherwise there'll always be some sort of little itch or scratch or something going on in the body that'll pull our attention. So if we keep doing that, then we're just getting caught up in distraction. So in general, if we notice something like that, like any distraction, a sound, is just let it go and come back. Don't focus on it. But again, if it's really something quite persistent and it's really pulling the attention a lot, and you can't just simply come back, then you maybe need to address it, like this strong pain in the knee or something. You'll need to adjust your posture, because otherwise you just get caught up in that.
Is it okay to wet your nostrils with some water or something?
For the purpose of?
So then you feel the chill.
Yeah. So again, here, what we'll notice is it's a much more subtle object. So as a beginner, often people don't notice hardly anything. But that's because our clarity is not very good. So what we shouldn't do, of course, is then to breathe more forcefully so we can notice something, or get upset, or clamp down more forcefully. We don't want to do any of those things. It's just patiently stay there. Just patiently stay there. And you will find that if you patiently stay there, then you'll slowly start to pick up sensations and sensations there. So it's something that, of course, takes practice and takes time. So we don't need to artificially do something to pick up the sensations, but rather just be patient, and that as we become more calm and focused, we'll start to notice the sensations there. Yeah.
So sometimes even lips become a little stiff. So does it mean that there's a bit of tension or
stiff? What do you mean by stiff? Like
the way you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Was it something?
So one of the things that you can check is with this, and this is very common in this practice, is tightness, because we're trying to, you know, really pick up the sensations, and so we normally get tight. So what you can do then is also notice the eyes. If there's any tension around the eyes, that's a sure sign we're getting tight and tense. So you can check that as well. So it could be that you're tensing, and also the jaw, check the jaw. You may be tensing the jaw as well. So this is the sort of some points you can check if you think you might be getting too tight and tense. And if you are, then just relax. And if you stay, if you can't release that tightness or tension, then just move back down to the abdomen or the full body for some minutes to relax, and then you can come back to the nostrils. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a more subtle object, it really forces us to be more focused, which is good as long as it doesn't mean we're tightening. Yeah. So, of course, with the abdomen, full body, it's fairly easy to focus. But then, of course, our wandering mind sort of is focusing on the abdomen, and we're thinking about breakfast at the same time, you know. We can sort of multitask. So our mind, of course, doesn't want to just stay on one object. The mind wants to do all sorts of things, and so when you're focusing full body or abdomen, there can be a tendency that, I'm focusing on the abdomen. Oh, what do I have to do after this retreat? I have to go here, there. I'm still on the abdomen. I'm still there. You know. So whereas here, if you do that, because it's a more subtle object, you really have to pay more close attention. Often it can lead to less distraction. But of course, the downside is that because it's more subtle, then often people then clamp down forcibly. And so we don't really want to do that. We want that balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was helping you with sensations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that you'll find that you'll get little itches and scratches and sensations in the body, but to resist the urge to react to that, you know, it's just let it go. If you notice it, just let it go and just come back, let it go and come back. Yeah. Of course, like any distraction, if it's persistent and it's really pulling your attention, then maybe, you know, you need to address it at some point. But initially, to resist the urge to just get caught up in any little sensation and react, because that's what we normally do, so we're trying to overcome that tendency. Yeah.
Outcome of
tightening. So you lost me then. Of tightening. It can be. Vividness, of course. Vividness in a very stable way is coming from relaxation. But of course, if we tighten, we could get some vividness in the short term. But that vividness will come at a great cost of tension and fatigue and agitation. So, vividness itself. If we have vividness in a very stable way, this comes from relaxation. But you can also temporarily get some vividness by tightening the focus. But that sort of vividness from tightening is not what we want. So if we notice that you have the vividness, but then you also notice a lot of tension around here, then we need to release that as much as we can. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Of course, if your nose is completely blocked, then that you won't be able to use that. But then certainly you could use the abdomen, and you can breathe through your mouth then if you want to do that, if your nose is completely blocked. Yeah, if your nose is completely blocked, we can try and unblock it, but if it's completely blocked, then we could, if we're doing this practice, we could just simply use the abdomen or even maybe the sensations on the lips or something of the breath instead of the nostrils. We could do that as well. Okay. A little bit more about the practice, and then we'll do another short meditation before lunch. So just a few more comments, again reading from this book here on page 47. And here he says, the Buddha described the practice of mindfulness of breathing with the following analogy. So now he's quoting from the Buddha himself, who said, Just as in the last month of the hot season, when a mass of dust and dirt has swirled up, a great rain cloud out of season disperses it and quells it on the spot. So too, concentration by mindfulness of breathing, when developed and cultivated, is peaceful and sublime, an ambrosial dwelling, and it disperses and quells on the spot unwholesome states whenever they arise. So then he's commenting on that. He says, this analogy refers to the healing effect of balanced attention. When awareness is brought to rest on a neutral object, such as the breath, immediately every distressing thought disappears, and the mind becomes peaceful, sublime, and happy. These qualities do not arise from the object of awareness, the breath, but from the nature of the mind in a state of balance. This approach to healing the mind is similar to healing the physical body. The Buddha implied in his rain cloud analogy that the mind, like the body, has an innate power to heal itself. By clearly attending to a neutral object with sustained attention, without craving or aversion, we enable the mind to begin its own healing. As your mind calms, you may find that your respiration becomes subtler, and this results in fainter sensations of breathing. The further you progress in this practice, the subtler the breath becomes. At times it may become so subtle that you can't detect it at all. This challenges you to enhance the vividness of attention. In other words, you have to pay closer and closer attention to these sensations in order to stay mentally engaged with the breath. There's a kind of biofeedback process at work here. If your mind becomes distracted, you get caught up in involuntary thoughts, your breathing becomes coarser, resulting in stronger sensations which are easier to detect. But as your mind calms down again, the breathing and the sensations that go with it become finer and once again challenges you to heighten the degree of vividness. Mindfulness of breathing has this unique biofeedback advantage. So you may have noticed that already in this practice. If you're focusing in the nostrils here and your mind starts to settle down and get focused, your breathing becomes more subtler, which forces you to focus more intently, which improves clarity. Likewise, if your mind starts to get a bit agitated, your breathing normally gets more coarse, sensations are more easy to pick up, so that helps to avoid distraction. So we have this sort of biofeedback loop happening here to help us to stay on the object. Various physical sensations may occur in meditation. Sometimes you may feel that your limbs are extremely heavy or thick. Sometimes your body may feel very large, or you may feel that you are floating or levitating. Other sensations such as tingling, vibration, or heat are common. You may experience telescopic vision, viewing your body as if from a distance. Especially when you meditate many hours a day, you may experience within your body prana or vital energies shifting and releasing pockets of tension. When you engage in mindfulness of breathing, these energies begin to balance and flow naturally. This is a process that takes time, and while the energies redistribute themselves, their movement produces various sensations. Don't get worried, or don't be worried about them or make a big deal of them. These are natural consequences of the practice. So what you'll notice in meditation in general, but in particular in this sort of mindfulness training, is that as the mind starts to settle down and become more calm, clear and focused, then the subtle energies in the body are starting to balance. Now our subtle energies are completely out of balance. And that rebalancing of subtle energies can cause all sorts of sensations in the body, as he's mentioned. You know, tingling, vibration, heat, floating, light body, big body, heavy body, all of these things are possible. So we can experience lots of physical sensations in the body when we're doing this practice. Some of them are very pleasant, some of them are very strange, some may be not so pleasant. But the meditation advice with all these physical sensations in the body during practice is don't get caught up in them. It's very easy if we have some blissful flow of vibrations to go, wow, that's so nice, I want that. And get caught up in craving and grasping and trying to recreate these sort of flow of subtle energies. So then our practice will come to a grinding halt. We're just going to get caught up in craving and attachment and frustration. Likewise, if we have some strange or unpleasant sensations, very easy to get caught up in aversion or worry about, what's that, I don't like that, go away. And again, our practice will come to a grinding halt. So whatever these sensations are, just simply let them go, and keep to the essentials of the practice. The practice of shamatha results in an anomalous kind of attention. Normally, when the mind is relaxed, attention is slack. And when attention is aroused, this brings in a state of tension, a tightening of the body and mind. But in this practice, the more you arouse your attention, the more deeply the mind relaxes. There is a relatively egoless quality to shamatha. While other activities that call for a high level of concentration are effortful and often goal-oriented, shamatha entails doing almost nothing. We're passively attending to the sensations of the breath without regulating it in any way. Your ego is mostly taken out of commission as you let the body breathe of its own accord, exerting only a subtle degree of effort to balance attention when it falls into dullness or distraction. As you advance in the practice, increase the duration of each session and decrease the number of sessions each day. Always go for quality over quantity. So this is something I briefly mentioned the other day, particularly in this practice, quality over quantity. So start with short meditation sessions, and then as you progress in the practice, then you can slowly extend the duration of the sessions. And I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later in this retreat. Unbroken continuity of practice is vital. Imagine starting a fire by rubbing two sticks together. If you rub the sticks together for only a few moments, then rest, then do it again for a few moments, then rest, you could continue in this way for years without even igniting a spark. Likewise, if you are intent in progressing through all the stages, the time-tested way to proceed is to radically simplify your life, withdraw temporarily into solitude, devote yourself full-time to this practice for extended periods. It is not easy to achieve the bliss of shamatha without leaving heavily populated areas which tend to be noisy and congested. In contrast, in the wilderness, removed from society, a meditator can more easily set his mind at ease and accomplish meditative stabilization. So what he's saying here is that on top of doing a sort of a daily practice, it can be very helpful from time to time to do a little bit of a retreat in a more intensive setting to give yourself a little bit of a boost in this practice. And I'm going to speak more about those possibilities again later in this retreat here. Okay, so that's a few things to mention. One more thing, and then we'll do another short practice before we go for lunch, and that is expectation. That expectation is really going to create a lot of problems in this practice, in any practice actually. You know, often we hear people talking amongst themselves who meditate, and one person says to the other one, oh, I had a really good meditation today. My mind was completely still and quiet. And another time the person may say, oh, my meditation today was awful. My mind was all over the place. So if this is our idea of good and bad meditation, we're in trouble because we are really simply caught in the hope-fear cycle, hoping for pleasant experiences, fearing or worrying about unpleasant experiences. And then So what is really a good and a bad meditation? A good meditation is simply any meditation where we, to the best of our ability, try to follow the instructions no matter what happens. Because from one day to the next, we don't know what our mind is doing. Some days our mind is naturally more quiet, other days naturally more active. And a bad meditation is simply any meditation where we sit down, we don't put any effort, we don't try to follow the instructions, we just let the mind do whatever it wants. So if we can really keep this in mind, we're going to avoid getting caught up in the hope-fear cycle, and we're going to avoid getting caught up in expectation. Because often people have this expectation that each session will be better, you know, that my meditation will be at least as good as yesterday, if not better. And then, of course, when their mind on that particular day is much more chaotic, then they get frustrated and upset, and my practice is not working and so forth, and then the whole practice comes to a grinding halt. So if you notice that there's any expectations creeping in at the beginning of a meditation session, just let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And then just follow the instructions to the best of your ability and then be happy with that. And if we can do that, then we'll avoid this sort of frustration and disappointment and expectation problems. Okay? So let's do another short meditation focusing on the breath at the nostrils before we go for lunch. So again, finding a nice comfortable posture. So as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting it into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. Using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. allowing the breathing to flow naturally and effortlessly. Not trying to manipulate the breath in any way. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. In particular, letting go of any expectations for this meditation. And simply allowing the mind to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Now narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath at the entrance of the nostrils. Allowing the breathing to flow naturally, not trying to regulate or control the breath in any way. keeping all the muscles around the eyes soft and relaxed. To help balance the mind, to help overcome agitation or distraction, we can use each out-breath as an opportunity to relax, to release any distractions, and very gently return to the breath. And to help overcome dullness or being spaced out, we can use each in-breath as an opportunity to arouse and refresh our focus on the breath. So let's break for lunch there, and after lunch we'll go back into the emotional balance work, and in the first session after lunch we're going to look at anger and what it is and how to deal with it. So that's at 2 o'clock. So.